Welcome to After Hours at the Radio Book Club, a podcast that's a collaboration between KGNU and the Boulder Bookstore. And we are live at the Jaipur Literature Festival, JLF in Boulder, at the Boulder Public Library. Joining us, David Barron, who I'm surprised you have the energy to do this, given how much you had to talk about the eclipse. You're the author of The American Eclipse. And we have just had a massive American eclipse. And we've spoken to you in advance of that, but how are you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I am recovering. It was, as you know, the lead up to the eclipse on August 21st was crazy. America had eclipse fever. And frankly, I've had eclipse fever for 19 years since I saw my first total solar eclipse in 1998. And I have been looking forward to August 21st, 2017 for that long. And things were pretty crazy, all the, media interviews and so forth, and just my own excitement leading up to August 21st. So I've spent the last month just taking time out mentally and physically.
Did it compare, or how did it compare to previous solar eclipses that you've experienced?
So this was my sixth total solar eclipse, and it was spectacular. I mean, it was a, I will make it number two of the six in terms of my tops, the top ones. My first one in Aruba, because it was my first, and the solar atmosphere that year was just beautiful. That stands out as my first, but this was a close second. I was on a mountaintop in the Tetons, over 10,000 feet, with almost a dozen family members. And just the skies were cloudless. The eclipse itself was breathtaking. And being there with my family, it was just spectacular.
Arsene Kashkashian, you were also with your family in Wyoming.
I was in Nebraska. We went to Nebraska. We woke up early that morning and drove up to a state park outside of Scotts Bluff. And we got to see the total eclipse. And that was my first one. And it was amazing. It's interesting to hear you kind of ranking them, because it's like, you know, having just seen one, it's either a total eclipse, which it was for 2 minutes, or the rest of my life, you know. So to hear a little ranking is kind of entertaining. But I was very struck about what a social occasion it became. Where I was in the state park, people were there, and people had camped overnight, and people were talking to each other before and after and during it. And, you know, is that something we've seen throughout history with these eclipses, or is that becoming more social somehow now?
Well, so certainly, I mean, for the last 150 years, the experience of a total solar eclipse has been pretty much the same as it is today. So in my book, American Eclipse, which is about the eclipse of 1878, back then, people knew how to predict eclipses. They knew what caused them. They generally were not a cause of great fear, but they were something to be excited about, and people gathered together to witness them. And so for the last century and a half, I would say the experience you had is the experience that most people have, which is it's just a rare opportunity to step out of your day-to-day life, be reminded of just the marvel of creation and just the wonder that we exist on this planet at all, and the beauty of the sun, and for people to gather in this very humble way, just to realize that, you know, we're all the same. I mean, it really erases class differences and racial differences, and eclipses tend to gather people from around the world. Where you were in Nebraska, I would bet you there were people from Europe and elsewhere who'd come in for the eclipse. There's this real sense of oneness about it. Yeah.
There are also people from Boulder, too. We're like, where are you from? Where are you from? And the third person, we're like, where are you from? Like, I'm from Boulder, Colorado. Like, oh, 8 blocks away. We could have carpooled if we had figured this out.
I was in Queensland, Australia for a total eclipse in 2012. And had the same conversation, oh, where are you from? And that person said, oh, I'm from Boulder, Colorado. And I said, well, so am I.
Well, I viewed the eclipse in Boulder, Colorado, and I think I got the 94% experience. Well, my family went to Nebraska, and they had an amazing time. And it really was very different here, because you think, oh, 94%, that's going to be pretty significant. It was cool, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you. You're right. And as Arsene, as you'll recognize, it's really not until just literally the seconds before the total eclipse when it actually goes dark or darkish. So it's not till you, a 99.5 5% eclipse when really things start to happen. So even where you were, you know, here in Boulder at 94%, it probably seemed like the light was a little weird, but it still was clearly daylight. It's those final seconds before totality when you really feel the darkness come in.
Yeah, I can't remember what percentage it was, but somebody was saying that this is the equivalent of 10,000 full moons, and that might have been at 95 or 96%. So it's like, even at 4% of the sun, they were saying it's the equivalent of 10,000 full moons.
Actually, 10,000 full moons would be at a 99%.
99%. I mean, it's just incredible. It was an amazing experience. You know, the other thing that struck me, and I think Neil deGrasse Tyson said it the best, was this is a day that everybody is celebrating and believing in science. They believe that the eclipse is going to happen exactly where all the scientists say it's going to be, you know, whatever political persuasion you are. And for that minute, they're all believing in science, and science doesn't let them down. And yet we're a culture that seems to struggle with believing in science right now.
Well, and I had hoped that the eclipse this year might reinstill a sense of excitement about science. And I'm hoping it did. I don't yet know if it did. But, you know, that was part of my excitement about writing about the eclipse of 1878 in my book, which did help inspire a young United States to rally around science. And I was hoping that the one this year would remind us of the value of science. I think, frankly, the biggest impact on science will be the kids who watched the eclipse this year, some of them will be inspired to study science and to become scientists. And what will they do 20 or 30 years from now when they're professional scientists? I think that's when we'll really see the outcome from the eclipse of 2017.
Well, NASA knocked it out of the park with their social media. They had videos going on. So maybe this eclipse was experienced by a lot more people who weren't in the direct path because of all of that. And it was, what I enjoyed was seeing the reaction of people who were watching the eclipse more so than watching the eclipse itself. I mean, people were having emotional experiences. People were weeping. I mean, why is it such an emotional thing? I mean, what people are talking about, my life has changed. I mean, maybe it was just a brief experience that they had, but it really seemed to resonate on a very emotional, deep level for people.
Well, for me, my first total solar eclipse, it was a revelation. It was as if, you know, before I saw my first total eclipse, I thought, well, what's the big deal? It goes dark. It goes dark at night. I know what darkness looks like. But the remarkable thing about a total eclipse is not what's hidden, it's what's revealed. It's that you see a sky you've never seen before, where you actually can look toward the center of the solar system and understand that the sun is this physical object right out there in space that's more beautiful than you can imagine, and that we are on this tiny piece of rock revolving around it. And it just, in a very visceral way, made me understand my place in the universe. And it sounds very hokey, but that's exactly what it did for me. It was just the most awe-inspiring sight I'd ever seen.
I thought it was otherworldly to me. You know, the temperature dropped 10 or 15 degrees very quickly. Really, in those last 5%, it seems like it just really went off the table. And to be able to look at the sun, which you can do when it's in totality, you can never look at the sun. I mean, maybe for a fraction of a second you can. And to see that corona, it was so beautiful. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. And that it's fleeting, that it's not permanent. It's not like a jewel that you can take out over and over again and look at. It's like you had those 2 minutes, and there they were, and it happened. You can remember it forever, but there's just not too many things in life that are that beautiful and that fleeting and that otherworldly.
Well, all of that being said, for those of us who didn't get to the path of totality, when is our next opportunity here in the U.S.?
Well, so we're very lucky because the eclipse this year was a really big deal, in part because it had been so long since we last had a total solar eclipse. It had been 38 years since a total eclipse went anywhere in the continental United States, and 99 years since one crossed the country coast to coast. But we're going into a period of relative abundance, and I say relative because they're still pretty darn rare. But the next one will be just 7 years from now. So April 8th, 2024, that year, on that date, the path of totality will go from Texas to Maine. People from Boulder will have to drive a bit farther, but it's still, one could drive there. And I would say it's a Monday, it's a work day, it's a school day, but plan to take the day off. And I'm going to go to Texas because Texas has the best odds of clear skies and the duration of totality will be longest.
I'm sure reservations are already rolling in for hotels, Airbnb, or who knows what's going to be there. But I think so many people who experience this one are absolutely planning on going to that. Because, what an experience. Arsene, are you heading to Texas for that?
No, you know, it's the path of totality is going to go over my alma mater, which is Allegheny College in Meadville, Pennsylvania. So I'm going to take it as a chance to visit the old college. My daughter will be in 10th grade at that point, so maybe it'll be a college visit. Who knows? So that's what we're thinking. We, like David said, though, the chances of it being cloudy there are probably about 70%. So we'll see if that what we end up doing.
Now, you talked about your hopes, what this could do and what you hope it would do for science and maybe getting young people interested in science. What other opportunities, aside from an eclipse, are there that can really rally people like this and maybe engage us with the, you know, greater universe?
Geez. Well, I mean, astronomy in general does it. And, you know, I think really a total solar eclipse, though, is just on a completely different scale from the other things that get people excited, like, the super moon when the full moon's especially big, or, you know, sometimes when, so you can see a conjunction of the planets that's particularly interesting. Those can be awe-inspiring, too, but they're not on the same scale. It's hard to come up with something that's really equivalent. You know, we've got the Cassini space probe that just crashed into Saturn, and that got a fair amount of attention. And when we have spacecraft going to other planets and sending pictures back, that's something to get excited about too. But that isn't that same personal connection with outer space. That, I mean, you, Arsene, you called the total eclipse otherworldly. I mean, it really is for me. It's as if you've been transported to another planet. It's like you're not on Earth anymore. To have that personal experience of feeling like you've gone to another planet, I think is much more meaningful than seeing the pictures that are sent back by our rovers on Mars.
But what's next for you in terms of books? Would you write a book about this eclipse in the lead up to the next one? I mean, there's obviously a huge amount of interest in this when the U.S. itself gets to be in the path of totality.
Yeah, I mean, I will continue to be an eclipse chaser, I'm quite sure, for the rest of my life. I'm not sure if I have another eclipse book in me. I think I may have, like, my first book was about mountain lions, and people ask me, so are you going to write another book about mountain lions, or are you going to write a book about now wolves? And I think I sort of had my say of what I felt compelled to convey on the issue of human-wildlife interaction with my first book, The Beast in the Garden. I think I've said most of what I have to say about total eclipses with this new book. So I've got a bunch of ideas, and I'm actually meeting with my editor and my agent in New York in a week and a half, and I'm going to start the conversation about what's next. I don't yet know what it is.
Go with what you're most passionate about, because you're going to be stuck doing it for a while.
That is exactly right. Well, and, you know, you're going to be stuck. I'm going to be stuck doing it for a while, and there are going to be dark days when I wonder, why the hell did I get started on this, and am I ever going to get done? So you're absolutely right. It's got to be something I'm completely passionate about.
Well, David Barron, author of The American Eclipse, thank you so much. You've been listening to the podcast, the After Hours at the Radio Book Club special from the Jaipur Literature Festival.
Thank you.
Thank you.